Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Good afternoon. Today is March the 15th, and it's not the first day of spring.
Yet. And still not, Justin.
We're in the basement, and it's freezing.
And you're in short sleeves.
It's freezing. I'm rebelling against cold weather.
Well, you're cold, though.
I'm cold. It doesn't mean that I don't get cold. Yes. Yeah.
You think it's spring. It's not spring until Saturday.
I don't understand that. I don't understand our calendars.
Well, it's trust me. Yeah. Saturday. Saturday's the day.
Saturday's the day. Okay,
it's Saturday, not going to warm up.
So next week when we get here, I can say it's officially
you
spring.
You can say it's spring, but it will probably still be cool outside.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah. Well, right now it's rainy.
Yep.
We're down here. We can't see it, but it's rainy. That's and it's right. Nasty. But
We're happy.
Yeah, we're excited. We're excited about being in the rain. Well, excited to talk to you today. Again, continuing our conversation about congregational life. So for those that are jumping on our podcast maybe in a while and they're jumping on the first time, we've usually covered the sermon on Sunday morning, mm-hmm. and we'll kind of unpack that a little more. But we decided a few weeks ago to start talking about congregational life.
Yep.
How we relate to one another, our purpose, our vision, all of that.
Yeah.
As it relates to us in the world today.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm glad we're doing this because I got to be honest, as I look back at the things that God used in my life, has used in my life over the four decades now plus of being a Christian, and especially in the early days of being a Christian when I didn't know what I was doing. Mm. I mean, I became a Christian, Justin, and I was like, okay, now what?
Yeah.
You know, I knew Jesus as Lord, and that was the confession of my heart and mouth, but it's like, now what? And how grateful I am that God immediately, I mean immediately, pulled me in to a church that I was already a part of, but I mean pulled me into that church in terms of engagement, pulled me into a very solid youth ministry, mm-hmm. of discipleship, very solid friendships. So congregational life saved my life.
Yeah.
I mean, that, you know, I always say the things that were instrumental in me coming to faith were the preaching of the gospel, obviously, the call of Christ to deny myself, take up the cross, follow him, trust him. Mm-hmm. But then after that, confessing Jesus as Lord, what was it? And, yeah. you know, it was time in God's word and prayer, learning, mm-hmm. just learning the basics of fellowship with God and a local congregation.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the things that God used very powerfully in my life. Wasn't fancy, but man, was it powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, to kind of recap where we've been, so we talked the first week a little bit like why are we talking this? Why now?
Yeah.
We mentioned the really easy reason, which is we are in Romans 12, and Romans 12 is unpacking the church, and especially now we were just in verses 9 through 21, which is loving each other in the church and loving the world, and so it's talking about that. So it's bringing it up, so we thought it'd be a good time to talk about it. We also talked about just the challenges of 2020, which has been there, and a little bit of sometimes we get isolated, and sometimes we have mission drift away from what's our purpose as a Christian, as a congregation, and it's just a good time to remind how we relate. And then in the differences of our world, we thought this is a good time. How do we relate to one another when we don't always agree on certain topics? And so we're going to get to there. It's coming. But we're also laying some foundation, and we talked through that as well in that first session. But then the second one, last week, we talked about Ephesians chapter 4. You send these prayer passages out to leadership at Grace, and we talked about in chapter 4, it's eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. We talked about the individual's role in congregational life, this sense of the eagerness to maintain the unity of the church.
Mm-hmm.
So this week, what I want to ask you, Scott, is more of a foundational question. Again, if people are listening, I want us to see us building this foundation as we kind of build on this conversation about congregational life. So when we get to how do we deal with differences, we have this great foundation laid. So why does God gather people in local congregations? Very simple question.
Well, that's a big question, but I'll simplify an answer.
Yes.
That's a big question.
Yeah, it's a big question. But it's a foundational question.
Yeah.
Like, why? Because I think sometimes we can easily just go through the motions, and why is he gathering us? Why local congregations? Why can't we just stay online or listen to favorite podcast? Like, why local congregations? Yeah. Why?
Good. Well, you've raised a couple of issues there. Yeah. Congregations.
Yeah.
So some kind of identifiable group of people. Mm-hmm. And also gathered. So like being together. Mm-hmm. So why has God done that? You know, I would not rephrase the question, but put it in this way. I can see, and we can see reading the Bible, we can see at least three very clear purposes for local congregations gathering together. I'll phrase it that way and say the first one is to exalt Christ.
Yeah.
If you think about it, we could talk an hour on just this topic, but if you think about it, people in local congregations are professing that Jesus Christ is Lord. Mm-hmm. They are people who believe in Christ's death and resurrection for their sins and for eternal life. They are people who are transformed and are being transformed by the grace of God in Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit, the renewal of the mind. The Romans 12, 1 and 2 passage applies here. And so when these people get together, there is an exaltation of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. He's the center of their gathering. He's the reason they are gathered. He's the reason for their existence and their coming together. And the fact that they come together is a visible exaltation of the power of Jesus Christ to change people.
Yeah.
And again, there's many, many elements to that, to exalt Christ. Mm-hmm. The fact that an individual has been saved by grace from spiritual death to life. The fact that these individuals come from varying backgrounds and are now many who have become one, again, Romans 12. Yeah. The fact that they are physically doing something like singing songs that give praise to God and to Christ, praying to Him, and then opening the Bible, that the conviction of the Christian is that this is God's very word to us. Mm-hmm. Is an exaltation to God and to Christ.
Yeah.
So that's the first reason I can think of is that when Christians gather in local congregations, Jesus Christ gets exalted. God gets exalted and worshiped and praised.
Good. So the glory of God first and foremost.
Exaltation, the second reason that I can see for local congregations, we can see in the Bible for local congregations gathering together, is the edification of Christians.
Okay.
So Christians are supposed to grow in their relationship with Christ. So we don't have to complicate this, okay? It just means that we trust Christ, we follow Christ, we obey Christ, we are being conformed in character to be like Christ. So we are growing, we're changing. We've been transformed and we're transforming. And so we are to help each other.
Yeah,
it's very, very simple. We're to help each other do that. Ephesians 10 talks a lot about this.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Hebrews 10. Uh-huh. Hebrews 10 talks a lot about this. So when we come together, we're coming together for the edification, which is the building up, the encouragement, the growth of each other. Yeah. And consequently, then the growth of the church.
Yeah.
Again, going back to my own personal experience, thank God that is definitely what I experienced as a new believer in Christ, a place of discipleship. Well, I've been a Christian now for over four decades, and I still grow. I still learn. I still get prayed for, prayed with. I still pray with people. My faith is still being stretched. I'm still being pruned. Meaning God is taking things out of my life that are not holy and not like Jesus and putting things in that are. And how is that happening? It's happening in relationship with my brothers and sisters in Christ, interacting, listening, learning, sometimes being corrected, most often just being exhorted to keep going and encouraged to keep going. So the edification of Christians is the purpose for us getting together, gathering together. You know, we could talk all day long about, you know, whether that's physically in the same room or online or, you know, virtual. I'm so tired of that that discussion right now. We have
if you
every
say the word virtual. I'm going to throw something at you.
We have every intention at Grace Community Church, as long as God allows, to physically gather together.
Exactly.
We're in a season, but we do not expect for this to last. We're physically gathered, but I mean, some are not able to because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
But it's no intention that we will become a virtual church.
Right.
We're getting together. We've always done it. We're going to keep doing it.
Yep.
Yeah. So edification.
Okay. Good. So we got the glory of God, the glorification of Christ because He saved us, edification of one another.
Yeah.
What else?
Well, it's very clear that local congregations and congregational life has an evangelistic effect.
Mm-hmm.
It is a witness to people in a city. And again, there are many, many elements to this.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll just share a few
that
kind of rise to the surface of my thinking. Here's one that I think's often overlooked. The very fact that there is a local congregation on a corner says something.
Right.
It is, in and of itself, it is a physical sign, a sight, a reality, a place that you can go to and walk in a door and sit down and hear the gospel.
Yeah.
It is a sign that something is here about Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't, this is off the top of my head, but I think it was Rosaria Butterfield who I was listening to her share her testimony. Mm-hmm. And she said that she just sat across the street and watched people go in and out of a church building.
Yeah.
Her initial...
It was strange in her mind.
Yeah, it was strange to her, but her initial intention was not good.
Right.
But after watching these people go in and out of this church building, there was some, if I remember correctly her story, there was some witness to there's something going on there.
Right, it was like, wow, this many people are heading into this building to worship God. There's something to this.
Yes.
Even though she may not have thought good thoughts at the time, it was still a representation that people were heading in to hear the gospel being preached and the word being preached and singing together.
Yeah. Now, of course, we don't want to end there.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And say, well, our evangelistic work is done just because we go to church on Sunday. No.
Yeah.
We want to talk about Christ and actually articulate the good news of the gospel. But I will say that just the very fact that a congregation exists physically in a space and gathers at a time is in and of itself a witness. And then the fact that the ministry of that congregation happens is even a greater witness. The preaching of the gospel.
Yeah.
People actually showing the transformation of Christ by loving each other.
Mm-hmm.
People actually serving in the world as they're launched out, built up in the gospel, launched out to live and serve in the world. That's an evangelistic witness.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you would hope that the members of the local congregation who are built up are sharing the gospel.
Right.
And then obviously you want people who aren't Christians to come into your church building.
Mm-hmm.
Doors are open, wide open,
hmm.
and they say all are welcome to come in here and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So so all these ways and others we could say, the local gathered congregation is a visible witness, an evangelistic witness of the power of Jesus Christ, the power of His death, the power of His resurrection to save a person from their sin, from wrath, from condemnation, and for glory.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Justin, I want to be, and we are. We are. I love Grace. We are. But we're going to pray fervently.
That we stay there.
That we stay right there. Yeah, I mean, just don't want to complicate this thing at all. We exalt Christ. We edify each other. We are evangelistic and do evangelism in the world until Jesus comes.
Yeah. So my follow-up question is, guys, I hear this, is it seems like you're really explaining the mission of the church.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, by saying, why do we gather? You're saying this is really the purpose of the church, to glorify God, to strengthen the body of Christ, and to go out into the world and be a representation of Christ and the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess I could ask, what threatens that purpose? Or I look at this and I kind of see as a foundation, like, man, if that's off, what could happen?
Yeah.
Like if we stop meeting just purely for the glory of God and the edification, if we take away and add something else, and like what's at stake and what's what threatens it. So, like, what's at stake and what threatens it?
Well, I think the biggest thing that threatens a healthy congregational life that does those three things is sin, the sin of self. So that would I would start there. Mm. We cannot. I'm just newly amazed all the time at the depths of human sin.
Yeah.
Even the human sin that remains in a Christian.
Right.
And so the entering with self agenda, entering with sinful agenda, entering the community life that way is going to keep that person and maybe others from worshiping God and being built up in the faith and doing the evangelistic witness. Mm. It just is. And you know, we just need to walk into church repenting people.
Yeah.
Reminding ourselves that this is bigger than me. This is not about me. This is about the glory of Christ. Yeah. This is about the good of the believers here. This is about the witness of the gospel.
Yep.
Just keep pounding that and then repenting as we regularly get shown our hearts.
Yeah.
So that's a huge, huge threat. I mean, and I'm going to say this in all honesty. I have to do that. I mean, I have to pray every week. Not just on Sundays, but I mean throughout the week, I have to pray that God will help me die to myself. Because if I enter with that big self sin driving me, I'm not going to be good for this church. Yeah. I'm not going to add to those three high calls of a local congregation.
Right. Right.
So that's the biggest threat. I think another threat is what we've said before, is mission drift, is losing the focus on what really matters.
Yeah.
You know, what is the church for?
Yeah.
What do we bring that nobody else brings?
Right.
Why is it that the gospel is given to the church?
Mm-hmm.
The church is the human organization on earth that has the deposit of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And if we fail to proclaim that and to disciple in that, because we get caught up in another purpose or vision or agenda, if it's something as personal as it's just my social hangout, or if it's something like we're going to change the world through some kind of, you know, next worldly agenda, it's mission drift, and it will threaten the church from doing the simple calling of God to exalt Christ, edify believers, and evangelize the world.
Which, you know, when you talk about mission drift, Scott, I think it's also like it could be, if you're not careful, a message drift. And when that happens, it to me, it's a sad thing, because people who could be coming in who don't know Christ and want to know what it means to be reconciled to God may get something that won't tell them how they can be reconciled, which is why we're here to exist.
Yeah. Can I tell you what is not a threat?
Yeah.
Persecution.
Yeah.
That's not a threat to the mission.
Isn't that great?
Now, I want to be careful.
Right, yeah.
The persecuted church, the truly persecuted church, you know, is dear to our hearts here.
Yeah.
We pray, and we never speak in a casual way about it.
Right.
And I am also going to be really careful, and I am going to say that on the outside, it looks like persecution does hinder and threaten the purpose of the local congregation. But several factors. We have to understand that without our being able to lay claim to any righteousness or whatever, that God in His sovereignty allows freedom in some places while there's persecution in others.
Mm-hmm.
So any freedom that we may experience is not owing in any way to our righteousness.
Right.
And that our brothers and sisters are suffering around the world, but they are still exalting Christ.
Yeah.
They're still gathering, many of them.
Yeah.
But they are still exalting Christ. And when they get together, they're still edifying each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they are still giving an evangelistic witness of the power of Christ, because they're doing what they're doing in the midst of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, self is definitely a threat to our experience of the exaltation of Christ in our gatherings, in our edification and evangelism. But persecution wouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
it would just make us rely more on God.
Yeah. Yeah, which, you know, going back to your second point, you know, edification of each other, I think, too, it's been more apparent to me how we love one another and encourage one another inside the body does affect point three, mm-hmm. which is heading out into the world.
Yeah.
Because I just think, again, the more and more I'm aware, the lost world is looking in. And they're wanting to see, okay, what's so different about this? Mm-hmm. And what is our community saying? That's why I think that understanding of edifying one another, loving one another is so important. Mm-hmm. I used to be, Scott, when I was a young Christian going overseas, I used to think, man, it's all about getting out there, which it is. But I didn't realize the power of the witness of the local congregation loving each other. Well, it's a powerful witness.
Yeah. So I'm hearing what you say, that you saw the evangelistic witness as always going outside, going somewhere.
Right.
Okay. And you're saying now that you're seeing there's an evangelistic witness in the gathered congregation doing church the way God calls us to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think it's both. It's not one or the other.
Yeah.
It just works together.
Yeah.
So good. So again, this is a good foundation for us today just to kind of start building on. We're going to get there. I know I talked about it two Sundays ago. Hey, we're going to talk about how do we relate to one another when we don't always agree on things like politics or social issues. And it's all these here. But how do we relate? We're getting there, but this foundation builds on us. Yeah. Builds so that we can look back and say, okay, that's why we can still relate in unity, because this is our mission. This is our purpose.
Yeah, it's who we are, and it's what we're really called to do.
Good. Well, thanks. We'll look forward to another one next week.
Thank you. All right.